continue our series, Experiencing the Benefit of the Sabbath. And today I'm going to look at the rest of the Sabbath. Not the remainder, but the time, the R-E-S-T that the Sabbath gives us. And I'm calling it a refreshing rest, because there's all different kinds of rests. Now, I'm probably the last person who should be talking about resting on Sabbath, because as a Seventh-day Adventist pastor, I am not really a traditional Sabbath keeper. I work on the Sabbath. When God called me to the Adventist pastoral ministry and I answered his call, it meant that my Sabbaths would be a day of work. And they are days that are intense, exhausting, demanding, and draining, and they should be. For someone who is a minister of the gospel, if we are just not giving it our all and doing our very best and trying our hardest, shame on us, because the work of the Lord demands our full out commitment. And so, since I'm not really a Sabbatarian in the same sense that you are, I'm probably not the one to talk about rest on Sabbath. However, it's not about me. And on the authority of God's word, I can share about rest. God calls some of us, because of the work that we do, to work on the Sabbath. And he called me to do that, and I gladly do it. I have a different Sabbath than you, but Sabbaths are still the most special day of the week because I get to see you. Let's pray. Loving Father in heaven, thank you so much for this Sabbath, special day of rest. Lord, teach us what you want us to know about resting. In Jesus' name I ask this. Amen. Now, as I warned you last week, that this series on the Sabbath is not going to use what is the usual and typical Seventh-day Adventist approach to the Sabbath. And that is to try to prove the validity of the Sabbath, that the Sabbath is still binding. And I believe that the Sabbath is a strongly defended biblical doctrine, and that when God set the Sabbath aside, he never, ever intended that it not be kept. I believe that very strongly. But what I am doing in this series is I am choosing to intentionally focus on the benefit, the personal blessing that keeping the Sabbath can bring to one's life. Because I believe that the Sabbath is an incredible gift by God. And it was not only a Bible doctrine, but it was given to us for our benefit, for our good, for our blessing. And I think that's kind of what Jesus was trying to point out when he said what he said in Mark 2:27. He said, "The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people." That's the New Living Translation. The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people. The Sabbath was made for the good of human beings. That's the Good News Version. And another one from the Living Bible, which is a paraphrase, but I like how it reads. "But the Sabbath was made to benefit man." So I think what Jesus was saying is that this thing called the Sabbath is for your good. God invented it. He thought of it. He set it aside for you, to make you a better person. And I like that. The seventh-day Sabbath, a wonderful gift. Something given to us to meet our needs, to provide real and tremendous benefits to our personal lives. And one of the best benefits of the Sabbath is refreshing rest. Refreshing rest. Let's pray. Loving Father in heaven, thank you so much for teaching us about the Sabbath. And again, I pray to you because this is such an important topic, and I want your blessings to follow on my words today. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible, from the very beginning, a verse history, associated the seventh-day Sabbath with rest. Genesis 2:2, New Living Translation. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation. So he rested from all his work. The Sabbath was the seventh day in the creation week. Why did God rest? Was it because he was tired? Creating was big, heavy, hard work, and he just needed a break because he was just so spent? No. God is all powerful. God doesn't get tired as we humans do. And in fact, God spoke the world into existence. He spoke the creation. And that wouldn't have tired out us human beings. I mean, God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God said, "Let there be plants and trees." And just like that, plants and trees appeared. God said, "Let there be fish and birds." And just like that, presto chango, there were birds and fish. That doesn't take a lot of energy to just say, "Let there be," and fill in the blank, and it happens. So God wasn't going to rest because he was tired. No, creating our world and everything in it did not leave our Creator fatigued. Did not leave him with his tongue hanging out saying, "Oh, I need a vacation. This work of creating is hard, hard work." He did not say that. Sabbath rest is something deeper than just taking a break from work. Sabbath rest is an experience of refreshment and renewal. Two really good words that will come up again. Now this is how it is put in Exodus chapter 31, verses 16 and 17, from the English Standard Version. "Therefore, the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. It is a sign between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." Interesting. So resting and being refreshed aren't exactly the same thing. Jesus rested and was refreshed, but this verse 17 of Exodus 31 says that he rested and he ended up being refreshed. Now, I think we can learn a lot about what the Sabbath means and what God intended it as we look at the Hebrew word. And the Old Testament, as many of you know, was written in the language of Hebrew. And the Old Testament Hebrew word for Sabbath is Shabbat. Shabbat. It means Sabbath. And literally translated, it means to stop, to cease, to rest. And those first two ideas of stopping and ceasing are kind of a little bit different than to rest. Rest takes it almost a step further. Well, it does take it a step further. To stop, to cease, or rest. That is what the Sabbath, the Hebrew word for Sabbath, basically means. The rest of the Sabbath day was intended to be a day of a very special relationship between God and his creation, specifically Adam and Eve. Sabbath was to be a time out, if you please, for Adam and Eve to be able to not worry about other things that they would have to worry about and be able to commune with God in this unbelievably close and joyous relationship, refreshing relationship. Refreshing rest. Now, an important part of this time out, this weekly Sabbath, is physical rest. Physical rest. And physical rest is very important to our well-being. Here we have a baby that's so sweetly asleep. Those of you who have infants, it is so peaceful when when they're asleep. If babies didn't sleep, moms would go crazy, and they would eventually become sick and die, because rest is something very important to the growth of an infant. It's even important for us adults. Rest is very important. Without proper rest, people can act irrationally. People can be very irritable. People can even get sick if they don't get their adequate rest. And so, and many of you will be very glad to hear this, the physical rest that the Sabbath day offers is a really good benefit of the Sabbath experience. If you've been an Adventist for a while, you may recognize this phrase. It is Sabbath lay activities. Any of you know what that means? It's Adventist ease for saying taking a nap on Sabbath. And lay activities are sweet, at least particularly in my way of thinking. Now some of you can enjoy sleeping in later on Sabbath morning, and that's a good thing, to not have to go off to an early morning appointment to work, and sleep in a little longer is a good thing, as long as you don't sleep in so long that you miss Sabbath school and church. But correct Sabbath rest is a wonderful thing. Now, being a pastor, I can't sleep in, so my Sabbath lay activities takes place after church, and it's a very important part of my day. And I wake up from my Sabbath lay activities, my Sabbath nap, feeling, that's the end of my week before I take a nap. And then I wake up and I feel refreshed and I'm ready to go. Sabbath lay activities. The physical rest of Sabbath is a good thing. And it doesn't have to be done in a bed. You can do it in a park, relaxing. You can do it at home, reading, if that is what brings you rest and relaxation. There's many ways of doing that. But physical rest is a very important part of what God intended for the Sabbath experience. Now, it's been about 40 years ago that I started distance running. And I began to seriously train, wanting to do well in distance running. It fit my personality. I'm really driven and really disciplined. And so it fit who I was. But I learned some very valuable lessons about rest as I started my career in distance running. To do well in distance running, you've got to train. Not occasionally, but every day. And when I first started running, I started hammering out very intense workouts every single day of the week. Then I came to Sabbath, and as a pastor, I did not work out hard on Sabbath. I went out and got some fresh air and prayed as I was exercising. It was very leisurely. It was short. It was completely different than the other workouts of the week. And I found that by taking a rest from hard training on Sabbath, that when Sunday rolled around and I wanted to train long and hard, that I was able to do that because I had gotten my rest. And some of my friends who were very excellent distance runners and had better skills than I would ever think of having, some of them burned out because they trained hard every single day without a break. They did not take anything close to a rest, anything close to a Sabbath. Americans are overworked and under-rested. Americans, us, we are overworked and under-rested. Let me give you some statistics that I find alarming. Americans work 137 more hours per year than Japanese workers. American workers work 260 more hours per year than British workers. We American workers work 499 more hours per year than French workers. Americans are overworked and underrested. In his article entitled Americans Overworked, Overstressed, Dean Schnauber writes this: recent studies have painted a grim picture of the American working world. Longer days, less vacation time, and later retirement. And that was all during the good years of the 1990s. Road rage, workplace shootings, and the rising number of children placed in daycare and the increasing demand on schools to provide after-school activities to occupy children whose parents are too busy have all pointed to an evidence that Americans are overstressed and overworked. There's this polling company called YouGov. And they did some questionnaires and some polling, and they, in their study, in their research, found out that there's a significant amount of us Americans that are not feeling rested. They found out that only 15% of Americans report not waking up even one day a week feeling tired and poorly rested, while 40% say that they wake up once, twice, or three times a week feeling poorly rested. 38% of those on this questionnaire said that they are poorly rested four or more days out of every week. Americans, we Americans, are overworked and underrested. So we have this false idea, if we can just crowd in a little more sleep into our lives, we'll be okay. And so on the weekends, people try to catch up with their sleep. But it doesn't work. People try to go on vacation, so they come back from vacation, and then they're back in the same rat race. The Bible concept of rest is much deeper than just getting more sleep or taking more vacations. The Bible concept of rest has to do with a rest that refreshes us, that revitalizes us. And that's the concept that this Hebrew word Shabbat tries to portray. A rest that refreshes. Now, this rest is mentioned in the book of Exodus, chapter 23, verse 12, New Living Translation. God says this: you have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but on the seventh day, you must stop working. This gives your ox and your donkey a chance to rest. It also allows your slaves and the foreigners living among you to be refreshed. Isn't it interesting here that not only the person himself or herself is pointed out, but it talks about the animals. The ox and the donkey would be work animals for farmers. And it is also people who might be staying with you as guests, even guests from another country. Clearly, this thing called Sabbath rest is more than just sleep. It is something that is very real, and it should run deep in our lives, even affecting our animals and the guests within our doors. Now, we're going to be talking more about this refreshing rest of the Sabbath as we go through this series. We're going to be referring to the Sabbath rest that is a spiritual rest, that is a physical rest, we're talking about that today, that is a mental rest, and an emotional rest as well. And during this series, we're going to be looking at many dimensions of what true Sabbath rest is really all about. It is much, much, much more than just not working. It has to do with worshiping. It has to do with relationships and fellowship. It has to do with service. We're going to unpack this idea of what it means to have a Sabbath of benefit. What a tremendous blessing, what a tremendous benefit the Sabbath can be for our lives. And God intended it to be something that makes our lives better, makes us better people. And the refreshing rest that the Sabbath offers can make a real difference in one's life. There's a book, and this book is not written by a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, but by a Christian lady named Marva Dawn. And I remember my pastor friends telling me about this book nearly 15 years or 20 years ago. The copyright is 1989, so it's not the hottest thing off the book, off the press, but it is a good book. And this is what she writes in her book. I think she nails it on the head. Again, the title is Keeping the Sabbath Holy, spelled with a W-H-O-L-L-Y. And she writes this. Keeping the Sabbath holy. The interchange of physical activity and rest has been studied extensively by Juan Cardos Lehrman, whose research at the University of Arizona shows the biological need for rest every seventh day and the energizing value of a rest every seventh day. According to Lehrman's theory, failing to rest after 6 days of steady work will lead to insomnia or sleepiness, hormonal imbalances, fatigue, irritability, organ stress, and other increasingly serious physical and mental symptoms. She also adds that the biblical Sabbath commandment includes the ideas of both cessation from labor and refreshment. I want to tell you a story that I found fascinating. It took place a long time ago in the mid-1840s. And this story has to do with a wagon train that started in St. Louis and was heading west to Oregon. The Oregon Trail, if you please. And the members of this wagon train were, many of them were devout Christians. And as they started their journey from St. Louis en route to Oregon, they decided that they would keep the Sabbath holy. And they did not travel on Sabbath, but they made the day Sabbath a day of joy, a day of worship, a day of that they didn't work, of course, and a day that they just tried to deepen their relationship with God and with one another. A day of refreshment, if you please. However, it's slow go with wagon trains going from St. Louis to Oregon. And they found out that winter was approaching. And there were some in the group that began to kind of freak out and panic because they were thinking, well, what if they don't reach their destination at Oregon before the heavy snows would come? This would be disastrous. And so they thought, well, if we don't travel 7 days a week on the Sabbath included, that we're not going to make it to our destination in time and we may be in big trouble. Now, there were other members of this wagon train that did not feel that way, that felt that if God said it, that's good enough for me, I'm going to do it, no matter what. And so they argued back and forth. There was a lot of contention. And there were more Christians than non-Christians. There were more Sabbath keepers than non-Sabbath keepers. And so the Sabbath keepers made a proposition that we should keep the Sabbath because it's God's rule, and he knows what he's doing. But they couldn't agree. The one group of people said, we've got to surge ahead. If the snows catch us, we're going to die. And so they decided to do this. They decided to break into two groups. And one group would travel 7 days a week. The other group would keep the Sabbath and would only travel 6 days a week. One group, no rest. The other group, would have a Sabbath rest. Do you want to guess which group made it to Oregon first? It was the Sabbath-keeping group. They found, and duh, doesn't God always know what he's talking about? They found that when they kept the Sabbath and allowed themselves and their animals and their families to rest and relax one day, that they were able to come back refreshed and revitalized and to work more vigorously and effectively on the other 6 days of the week. Interesting. The seventh-day Sabbath was given by our Creator to be a tremendous blessing to us, to allow us the blessing, the benefit, the good of being refreshed on the Sabbath day, and to carry that refreshment through the week to come. It goes against our nature to stop and to unplug from the normal activities of the week. But the Sabbath is a weekly reminder from God that we need a time out. We need to slow down. We need to unplug. We need to make the day a day that we rest physically, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. The Sabbath was designed as an experience to bring refreshment to us. What a precious blessing and gift the seventh-day Sabbath is from God. In closing, I want to quote the words of Jesus Christ, our Savior. He says this, Matthew 11:29, New International Version. Come to me, you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Refreshing, revitalizing rest. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for the Sabbath day and the rest that it offers. It protects us from ourselves, because we want to keep hammering things out, and we want to be doing, and we want to be going, and we are moving targets that your Holy Spirit sometimes has a real difficult time connecting with, because we won't slow down and rest. Thank you for inventing this thing called the Sabbath. Every 7 days, you give us a chance to catch our breath, to get to know you better and to fellowship with one another, to worship, and to just feast with joyous celebration on this special day. Lord, teach us what it means to keep your holy day, to keep it, W-H-O-L-L-Y. Lord, teach us how to rest and make the Sabbath a day of rest and gladness.